This lesson is easier turning. And some of the elements of it, Moshe Feldenkrais has combined with what he calls the bell hand, which is we call it one of the neurological lessons because of how it tones the nervous system. You know, let's start in standing, if you don't mind. This will be for the turning part, to see how this lesson does in improving your turning ability. So just stand, and as if you want to look behind you, look at something behind you, go ahead and look over one shoulder and feel how you do that and what engages there. And then go ahead and look over the other shoulder. And you could do it once or twice each way. So we'll come back to this at the end. It's our reference move. And then go ahead and lie on your back. And get a sense of what kind of state you're in today, how you contact the ground, how much you're willing to give your weight to the ground. What parts of you may still be up and walking around or halfway on the way to the grocery store. And then get a sense of yourself skeletally, your midline, the two lines of your legs, the two lines of your arms. And pay special attention to the way your shoulder blades are contacting the floor today. Whether they feel the same on both sides, if one feels a little heavier or maybe pointier or flatter, wider, higher, larger or smaller. And then the same with your pelvis. How much of it contacts the ground, whether the two sides feel equal, the pressure on the two sides, the size of the two sides. And then go ahead and in a very small range, very gently, roll your head a little side to side, just to let go of anything that you may be holding in your neck or your chin. Stay in the range of very, very easy, where the quality is still in that quality of gliding before it starts to feel like you're moving into the stretch mode. Just in that easy gliding mode, and see how far down your spine you can feel that, letting go of anything in your neck. And notice your breathing, just what it feels like at this point, where you're breathing, front, back, sides, high, low. Long breath, short breath, deep breath, shallow breath. And then please, before you do it, prepare. Think in your neurological system and your brain how you're going to do this. And then go ahead and roll over onto your right side. And we may need to take a short break here because I failed to mention at the beginning that this is a side-lying lesson and you might need something under your head, unless you're comfortable having your right arm under your head. You might want a little bit of support under your head, some rolled up towel or something like that. Preferably not a very soft pillow. Good. Please place your left hand on your left shoulder and do it this way. The thumb, put your thumb behind the shoulder and the fingers in front of the shoulder. So you're holding the shoulder and your arm kind of sticks out there like a chicken wing. Your elbow probably has to be, well, it could be in front of you, it could be up in the air, wherever it is. This is just a little exploration. With the hand on your shoulder, as if your hand is actually moving that whole shoulder unit, explore the comfortable range of motion of that shoulder blade. The reason I'm having you do this is so that when you move your arm later, you have a sense of the arm's connection to the shoulder blade. So you're not separating the arm out from the shoulder blade. So that arm, that very superficial or flat joint between the arm and the shoulder acts as if that's all one piece, the arm and the shoulder blade and the scapula. So explore what's a comfortable range of motion there. How easy is it to go forward? How easy is it to go back? How easy, which of the directions are available to you? And which are not so available? Don't push the ones that are not available. Just be curious about for you at this moment, what's easy. And pay attention if you can, maybe you could even use the other hand, or just, is the scapula moving? As the, shoulder blade is moving, is the collarbone, the clavicle also moving? This whole unit you have here. And as you do this, what can you let go? All right, rest for a minute on your side. Let that go with your arm. Just rest. See how it is to be on your side. And then go ahead and bring that left arm straight out to the side. So your hand is pointing to the ceiling. And look for the place where your shoulder blade rests comfortably. You can move your arm a little bit. Where does it feel like it has a nice seating? And very gently, with curiosity about how you do this and how it feels, begin to bring your arm back just a little bit. So it moves the shoulder blade. It opens the ribs in the front. Your shoulder blade slides a little bit over the ribs in the back. Just what does it feel like to bring that arm back? And again, you're going for the easy quality. Maybe you only go half an inch in order to stay in the high quality range. We don't care how far you go. And immediately invite your neck and your head to join. What happens if you allow your head to turn with your arm? You might even look at your hand and follow your hand with your eyes. So this is a clue to how do you bring your arm back? By spreading the effort, by allowing the head to turn, by allowing the ribs to open in the front. So it's really your chest that's doing the work. It's really the ribs, that's it. You invite a softening in the ribs. You feel the shoulder blade moving toward the spine. It's really about calling on the ribs to support the movement of the shoulder blade. Can you feel it? Can you feel it in the ribs? So we connected the shoulder blade, the arm to the shoulder. Now we're connecting the shoulder to the ribs. And also take it forward now. So you take your arm back a little bit. And then you take it forward. You follow it with your eyes. You follow it with your head. Your arm starts to go down to the ground in front of you. You feel the shoulder blade moving over the ribs. Try not to separate the arm from the shoulder. And then you come back again. You open up. See if you can get a sense of that it's your ribs doing the work here. It's your chest. That's it. Good. See how much you can open. It's like a turning of the ribs. What inhibits your arm movement? What might you be holding? That's it. There you go. What might you be holding on to? Probably something in the ribs. How are you breathing? Try breathing out when you go back. It will help you soften the ribs if you breathe out. Avoid going into the stretchy range. Avoid going to a place where you have to do a little oomph to get back. And of course, everybody take a rest. In fact, take a rest on your back. In all these lessons, please, please tune in to your own sense of, I had enough of that. I'm tired now. I'm going to take a rest. Notice any difference that you feel lying there, difference between the sides, especially the shoulder blades. Maybe the midline. The kitty knows where the good place to be is. All right, so we're going to introduce the bell hand, a new factor. We're taking a long digression. And bell hand is a repetitive gesture, small gesture of the hand. that calms the central nervous system. In practical terms, it's letting go of muscular effort we don't need to, in order to shift into a parasympathetic mode. And in this mode of both relaxed and attentive is the best mode for new learning. Okay. And it's called this because Moshe thought the shape of the hand resembled a bell. So on your back there, we'll work with the right hand, rest the right elbow on the ground and have the right hand up in the air. This is called having your hand standing. So your right elbow's on the ground and your forearm is pointed up toward the ceiling. Your fingers are pointed to the ceiling. You're balanced on your elbow and your forearm is up in the air. Does that make sense? So it's in the air. Your forearm is in the air, not resting on you. Though, you know, you could do it on you as well. All right. Now, very gently, simply open and close your fingers. You want to be in a place where it doesn't take any effort to have that arm up in the air. And you're just opening and closing your fingers very softly. You have all day. So it's as if you're going to make a fist, but you don't. Susan, your fingers are in the air. Like that. Oh, maybe they are and I just can't see. So it may feel weird to do this. It's very, very simple, very small. But after you do it about 20 or 30 times, you start to feel everything let go all over. Your neck lets go. You can run your mind's eye over your whole self. If you're having any difficulty with the actual movement, try stretching your hand out, like tensing it, and then pulling it tensely into a fist once, and then letting it go and coming back to just the smallest of moves. Kind of like imagine it's a baby and like you can just sit there and look at your own fingers opening and closing. It's infinitely interesting. And we don't care if the fingers all go together or if they go one at a time. How are you breathing? If you stop your fingers for a second, leave your hand up there, stop your fingers for the second, and just see how you're breathing. And then get the fingers going again and see if having your fingers going changes the breathing. We don't want it to. We want this to be so, so light, so airy, so what? Filmy, spacious, that it has absolutely no effect on your breathing. All right, so Moshe goes on and on. He has you do this, and I'm going to go on and on a little while. Will you just lie there and open and close your hand and let yourself check yourself out, see if you're holding on to anything that you can let go. So the hand is the principal way that we deal with the world, and in the motor cortex, the image of the hand occupies a space that's 10 times its size. If your hand is uncomfortable, you can put it on your chest and do it. That's really nice also. Moshe would make this have children with CPE. Very often he'd have them connect up their hand with some part of themselves to help end spasticity. So normally the cortex is busy accessing memory, how do we do things, et cetera, et cetera. By doing this kind of repetitive movement, it asks the motor cortex to relax, to say, listen, you don't need to bother. We got this down. We're not going to be doing anything. You can have your legs long, you can have your knees up, whatever is comfortable for you. And if you change your position, have the bell hand in the foreground. See if you can really unite your mind with your hand. It's like a breathing meditation. You try to keep your mind focused on this sensation of your hand. Opening and closing. So while you're there, the idea is that mental activity slows. If you keep your mind on your fingers and on the sensation of the fingers, it's tricky. Okay, here's a challenge. Keep your mind on your fingers. On that rhythm, keep it constant and keep that in the foreground while you turn back onto your left side. Slowly, 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 but the focus stays on your hand while you get yourself back onto your left side. Keep your hand going. All right, go. Once you're there, keep the focus on your hand. Go back onto your back. Focus is on your hand. Go back onto your back. It changes the way you do things, yeah? And bring your... Keep the focus on your hand. Bring your left hand to your right hand. Bring your left hand up to your right hand and give the bell hand over to your left hand. Switch it. Let it go in your right hand. Wait a minute. What side are we turning on to? What lesson are we doing? Okay, you're going out to your right side. All right, give it back to your right hand. Give it back to your right hand. Keep the focus on your right hand and turn onto your right side. That way you can keep that right hand up in the air. Keep the hand going. So here I'm telling you, we're doing another relaxing lesson, and it's really another focusing lesson. We're trying to do a relaxing lesson, and it's really about focusing. Maybe the solution is that in order to relax, one has to focus. Okay, now try again. Keep the right hand going. Bring your left hand out to the side. You keep the focus on the right hand, but you bring the left hand out to the side. So your hand is up to the ceiling. Your arm is straight out to the side, up to the ceiling. And then while your right hand is doing bell hand opening, closing, try again. Bring your left arm a little bit back. stay in the easy range, bring it a little bit forward. Try the move while you have the bell hand going. You're breathing softly. Keep the focus on the right hand. Soften the ribs and the belly. Keep the focus on the right hand. Maybe with the bell hand, you go less than you were, and you go forward also. Maybe you go less far with the bell hand. Maybe you can tell with that bell hand where the stretchy range is and where the quality range is. Open your eyes, have them go with the head and follow the hand. And then we're going to twizzy the brain a little bit more. And let's see if this is possible. This is having your mind on three different things. So you've got the right hand going and the bell hand. That's your focus. See if you can have your head and your left arm go in opposite directions. You can do this very, very small. So while your arm goes back, your head turns to the right. When your arm goes forward, your head turns to the left. I don't know if this is possible. Tell me if it's possible. But it all depends on having the right hand continue. I know you can do it when you're not having the bell hand. Can you have the bell hand going while you have the arm and the hand in opposition? That's great. Breathing. Bell hand continues. You know, the movements are less important than the bell hand. Okay. Move them together again. The arm and the hand and the head all go together. The arm goes back, the arm goes forward, the eyes and the head follow the hand. So these kinds of brain twizzies can make everything tense up. Can you keep the bell hand going to prevent that kind of tensing up, to make these challenges in the parasympathetic, flowy, tensionless mode? Okay, and then when you've had enough of that, please go ahead and rest on your back again. And keep the hand going, why not? How are you going to get onto your back? Keep the hand going and you can also explore when you get onto your back, what happens if you let that hand go for a minute? Is there any kind of echo of the rhythm throughout you? Do you feel the rhythm of your breathing? And then pick up the bell hand again while you're lying on your back. And keeping it going, turn back onto your right side. We're going to do the same thing with the leg. Keep the bell hand going. Can you tell when you lose the focus and get it back? Can you tell your own rhythm of coming in and out of the focus? So, of course, you're not going to be able to stick your leg out to the side. Let's do this with your knees together. With your knees together, for a moment, the bell hand is going, keep your knees together and lift your foot. It's a funny movement. It'll do something in your pelvis and bring it back down. And then keep your feet together and open your knee. Bring your knees together and open your foot. So you feel this in the pelvis, right? This little movement of the knee will affect the hip joint. It's a little move of the hip joint. And you can also feel as you continue to do this, that it can turn the whole pelvis, right? So when you have your knee open, it starts to turn your pelvis almost like you're going to be lying on your back. And then when you close your knee and you open your foot, it starts to turn the pelvis almost like you're going to be turning over onto your belly. And see if you can feel that all the way up your spine, that movement of the knee and the foot, how it starts to open your pelvis and it starts to turn your spine one way and then the other. Still got the bell hand going. The bell hand is making this movement easy. It looks really nice. And see if when you start to open your knee, you also start to feel your shoulder opening. Okay, leave off now lifting the foot. We're focusing on opening the knee. And as you open the knee, see if it starts to move up your spine into the shoulder. That's it. And then when you come back, you don't have to lift the foot again. Who knows? If it feels good, go ahead. And then bring your left arm out to the side, up to the ceiling. And as you open your knee, allow that opening to travel so that its continuity also starts to bring your arm back. Did that make sense? So you're actively now involving your arm. And you bring your knee back, your arm comes back. And you can even have your arm go forward and you can lift your foot. This is an improvisation. We don't usually do it with lifting your foot. But I think it could feel good that as you bring your arm forward, you lift your foot. And then as you bring your arm, not a lot, just a little bit, just enough to make it feel good. And then you can engage your head so your eyes start to follow your hand both ways. And now in effect, where we're opening the arm it's the knee that's opening the arm now, because it's moving up the spine. Feel it up your spine. Your head starts to roll as if you could roll onto your back, but of course you can't because you're leaving the right knee down there. And if you still got that bell hand going, that's great. If you can bring your arm to the ground from below, that's fine, but we don't care about that. It's not the point to get your arm to the ground because you don't want to do that stretchiness between the arm and the chest, only if it's coming from way below. Okay, take a little rest on your side for a minute. You can have your bell hand going. Just say hello to yourself there. You're breathing. Your whole self now kind of giving itself to the ground. Or feeling the ground give you a little oomph back. So there's a lightening of that skeleton from the hello with the ground. Yeah, so interesting the way the rhythm of that bell hand can change. It can be slow, it can speed up, just depending what mode you're in. And now one more thing. Bring your left arm out to the side again. Keep the bell hand going and see what you can do with having the arm and the leg go in opposition, right? So when your arm comes forward, your knee opens. And when your arm goes back, maybe your foot comes up. When your arm comes forward, your knee opens. So the arm and the leg are in opposition, and see if you can feel where in your spine that turnaround is. Where does it change direction there in your spine? And what does your head do? Does your head go with your arm or does it go with your leg? And see whichever one it does, if you can try the other way. And then have it all go together again. Just a few times until you're And then one last thing before we rest, leave the leg alone. Just have your arm straight out there. Have the bell hand going and just come back to the first thing we did, which is just have the arm go back and see where it goes now compared to when you first started. And what that motion feels like, how much of you it engages. That's beautiful. And then go ahead and rest on your back. This will be a nice rest here and your choice to keep the bell hand going or not. We're going to do the other side. So this is a break between sides. You get a chance to feel what this one-sided lesson does to your experience of lying there on the floor, your experience of yourself and your self-image. Maybe we should change the terminology from self-image to self-sensation. So you're probably both feeling yourself and seeing yourself. midline, the two sides of you, the two shoulder blades, the two arms, the two legs, the two sides of the pelvis. Your sense of yourself in gravity. We'll take much less time on the other side. Once you've learned a new pattern, the information is all there in the brain and will be available quickly on the other side. Please start up the bell hand with your right hand. Once it gets going, pass it over to your left hand. Feel the difference. Let it establish there. Take your time. And then there it is on in your left hand, keeping it going. Turn over onto your left side. Keep the focus on your hand. Are you aware of it starting and stopping? Are you aware of, oh, I have to do something and then it stops and your attention goes elsewhere? It's difficult to keep both things in mind. I'm going to keep my hand going and I've got to go get my pillow or I've got to figure out how to get over there. It doesn't matter if you succeed. You know, just asking the mind to do this will have amazing effects. All right, so how does it feel to be on this side? Go ahead and hold your right shoulder with your right hand and do a little exploring of range of motion on this side. Just see if you can feel if it's any different, easier, less mobility, more options, different directions available. Feel the way the shoulder blade glides over the ribs, comes closer to the spine, goes further from the spine. Just be aware of the pathways that the shoulder blade takes. Anything you can let go. And then leave that go of holding the shoulder. back to the bell hand for a minute. It's almost like you're a different person on this side. This bell hand is so different than the other bell hand. It's like, who is this? That's how I feel. Anyway, bring your right arm out to the side, up to the ceiling, and see what it's like on this side for that right arm to go back a little bit. Just do it once or twice and then stop. We're going to do this in imagination. So just imagine, keep the bell hand going, and imagine that you're drawing that arm back, the ribs are opening in the front, the shoulder blades coming closer to the spine. You bring it back to the middle, you bring your arm a little bit forward, the shoulder blade, this is in imagination, the shoulder blade, your arm can be out to the side, but you're just imagining the shoulder blade comes away from the spine, the ribs in the front come together, and just imagine your arm going back and forward. Then imagine your head is going with your arm, how that increases the possible range of that arm. If your head goes with your arm and your eyes follow your hand forward and back, how it starts to engage your spine. So as long as it's in your imagination, make it very, very easy. And then bring your arm out to the side if it's not already there. And just do one or two of these for real, staying with the bell hand and just being kind of curious about how it is on this side where you did it in imagination and what's available to you, what's accessible without all that work that we did on the other side. So your head can go with. And then pause here on your side. You can bring your arm down or just to have a little rest. Keep the bell hand going. And then the next time we're going to imagine going in opposition. And as you do that, see if you can imagine not just the arm and the head, but imagine your whole self, you know, from the top of your head all the way down, including your feet. So you've got your back and your mat, you've got all of you there in your self-image. You've got the front of you, front ribs, back ribs, the whole pelvis, and all the way down to your feet. So you can bring your arm out again for real, if you like or not. And now imagine a couple of times that your arm and your head are going together. Imagine that, taking in your whole self, everything going back, going forward. Do that just a couple of times. And then get it going in your imagination so that your top, your arm is going one way. I'm sorry about, I didn't mean your top. Your arm goes one way while your head goes the other way, and make it very, very light and easy. Avoid any stretchiness in your imagination. Avoid any stretchiness in your neck. Just have it so light and soft that your whole skeleton feels like it's every single part of it is on roller skates, weightlessly being sort of held up from below. Imagine it elegant. And then go ahead and for real, do a couple of your head and your arm going in opposition. And feel and see how this is compared to the other side. That's really nice. The quality is really nice. And then just do a couple more of they go together. Arm and head go together and see how that is. And then when you've had enough of that, rest on your back. Keep your bell hand going. By the end of these lessons, it feels like these rests don't need to be filled with words. And keep it going. Come back onto your left side again. Imagine you're going to have your knees together and your foot lift. Then your foot is going to come down in imagination. Your knee is going to open. Your knee is going to come down. Your foot is going to open. Imagine that back and forth, seeing if you can remember how it was on the other side, how when your foot came up your in that hip joint, you felt it in the hip joint and it brought your pelvis a little bit forward as if you're rolling forward, and how then when your knee opens, it brings your pelvis a little bit back. And get that going in your imagination. And how it starts to the knee opening starts to bring your pelvis back and you start to be able to feel that up your spine, maybe all the way into your shoulder. And then get that going for real. Just do a couple of them for real. See how close you got in your imagination. And feel how already it opens your shoulder. And why not go ahead and bring your right arm out to the side? Keep the movement going so that the movement of the foot and the movement of the foot and the knee generates the opening and closing of the arm, and let your head go with it as well. And you're fine doing this for real. And how does this side compare to the other side? We spent 5 minutes on it. Doing it in imagination and prepping the brain beforehand make this side actually easier than the other side. Okay. Have a rest, a short rest. I think we'll skip the opposition. If you're yearning to try that opposition, go ahead. Have your arm out to the side. If you want to do that, see how it is on this side. Otherwise, take a rest on your back. I like it that everybody chooses differently. And then everybody rest on your back. We're going to do one more thing. This is the payoff. But take a little rest first. Are the two sides feeling any more evened out? How's your midline? Does that feel mid? Length there. The sense of your legs. The direction, the length of your legs. The pelvis, how the pelvis lies. How the shoulders lie. The sense of your arms, the sense of your connection between places. How about the sense of energy? Equally distributed or focused somewhere? Roll your head a little. Roll your head a little side to side. Make sure your jaw and your neck are still available and easy. Okay. Please roll onto your left side again. Have your knees drawn up in front of you. Both arms are out in front of you, long, straight, on the floor. Now, start to bring your right arm up, out to your side, followed by the right knee opening. The right knee opens, the right arm opens, it keeps going. And this time the left knee comes up to meet the right knee so you can roll onto your back. The left arm comes up in front of you and goes all the way over until you're on your right side with your left arm on top of your right arm and your two knees on top of your other. Okay, now bring your left arm up. Left knee comes up, you roll onto your back, the right knee comes up to meet the left knee, the right arm comes up and goes all the way over to the left side. And you go again, the right arm comes up into the center. You can have the left arm follow whenever you want. You can have the left arm come up in the middle, left knee comes up, you go all the way over onto the other side. And then you continue on in your own way with this. You can have the arm lead. You can have the leg lead. You can have everything go the same and you go side to side, opening the shoulder area, the pelvis area, enjoying rolling around on the floor. Lovely. Very good. Now, and you can let the, you can loosen this up a little bit. If you're not already a little bit floppy, go ahead and let stuff go a little bit so you can just, this is all pleasure at this point. Let things go, let the neck go, let the jaw go. Just have things be kind of liquid. If you're not going fast, try speeding it up a little. Try going flop, 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 side to side, see what happens if you're not doing it that way. And then you could slow it down again. Okay. And then whenever you've had enough, you just go ahead and lie on your back again. Notice how you feel. Notice your breathing. I have to tell you, one of the trainers, Alan Castell, he's in Santa Fe. He said, he talks about the self-image depends upon feeling good. If you feel good in your movement, you feel good. You have a good self-image. So his lessons, he says, he devotes all his lessons to having a good time, because having a good time, you then have a good self-image. So take your time, stay connected to this sense of rolling, opening top and bottom, and find your way. Why not get a bell hand going? Get a bell hand going. Keep the rolling in mind and find your way in some creative, you know, who cares mode to come to sitting and to standing. Take your time. Be curious. I think the bell hand really gets us into kind of like baby mode, that kind of curiosity and the pleasure of discovery. And once you get to standing, feel the effects. We'll come back to the reference move, but just, you know, take your time to just feel yourself sitting, feel yourself standing, feel yourself walking a little bit. And when I see everybody back in the camera standing, we can do that reference move again. All right, there you are. So try, turn, you know, looking over one shoulder, looking over the other shoulder, turning a little left, turning a little right. See if this has made any difference in how you turn. I like this lesson for driving, you know? And that's the end of the lesson. Shalom.